I don't mean to kind of ruin the mood this morning, but who would have thought we would be standing here today with President-elect Donald Trump as the next president of the United States of America? Sorry to dampen the mood. My goodness, what is going on? Riots in America? You know, the economy? We're all worried about the economy. We're worried about our jobs. We're worried about manufacturing in the outer northern suburbs. The world has gone mad. It's gone to hell in a handbasket. What is God saying in the midst of all of this? I find myself praying that prayer. God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to this church? What are you saying to the Salvation Army in the midst of the culture in which we live? Because who knows, we need God to speak to us in these days. Amen? Yeah? Who knows, we need to hear God in these days. God, what are you saying in the midst of what is happening in politics and with the economy and all of those things? You know, you hear stories in Craigieburn, someone getting murdered during the week. You hear stories of Subway getting robbed and people in Subway just eating their 6-inch meatball sub with cucumbers, losing their wallets, you know, because people have come and have robbed the store. I'm thinking, God, what are you doing? What are you saying to us? And I feel like God's given me something that's worthy of sharing to you this morning. So if you've got a Bible, open up to the book of Philippians, not the book of Philippines. Like someone had mentioned once in a church in Werribee years ago, reading from the book of Philippines. The book of Philippians, chapter 2. Make some noise if you got a Bible this morning. Awesome. And now make some noise if you actually found Philippians chapter 2. Oi, nice. What is God saying? Even in the midst of all the ups and downs of your life, all the good times and the bad times and everything in between, what is God saying? Let me read Philippians chapter 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess... Oh, I missed the line, didn't I? Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. Verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2. Remember, this is a letter that Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, and I believe it applies to us today. Such is the power of the word of God that letters that Paul wrote can still apply to us and we can still feel the Spirit of God teaching us. Verse 5 says, your attitude should be the same of that of, as Christ Jesus. Some other translations says, your mindset should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Everyone say mindset. You know, if you say it out, you might have more chance of remembering it. Mindset. Oh, you don't need to keep going. That's all right. This is very good. You guys are very good. Have the same mindset as that of Christ Jesus. You know, out of all that goes on in the world, if we could just have the same mindset as Jesus, we would go a long way in this world. We'd have the same way of thinking. The same way of thinking to that of Jesus, we would do well in the world. I want to give you a few things. If we have the same mindset of Jesus, we would understand that anything is possible to him who believes. Amen? we have the same mindset of Jesus, we would understand that with God, this is not impossible, this is possible. Things we look in our life and we think this is impossible, but the mindset of Jesus would look at a situation and say, wow, there's some obstacles there, but I can get through this in Jesus' name. There is no obstacle too great that God cannot help us with. Praise the Lord. See, let me give you a couple of scriptures. In Luke chapter 8, verse 49, while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, he said. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed. When Jesus arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She's not dead, but asleep. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Jesus says to this child, get up, and she's healed. Well, we look in the book of Acts, we see Peter, who all of a sudden is going to try what Jesus has taught him, or what he has learnt from Jesus and what he has seen of Jesus. If we look in Acts chapter 9, we see a story of Peter doing ministry. Now that Jesus has died on the cross, risen again, and ascended back into heaven, we see in Acts chapter 9, verse 32, as Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named, anyone want to pronounce that, Aeneas? Yeah, we'll go with Aeneas. A paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. So a paralytic, picture this, this isn't Jesus, this is Peter, going to a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you, get up and take care of your mat. And what happens? Immediately, Aeneas got up. Wow. See, the mindset of Jesus looks at a situation, even when someone is sick and unwell, the mindset of Jesus says there is an opportunity right now for healing in the name of Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. See, the mindset of Jesus looks around in our culture today and say, it doesn't matter how sick and sinful the community looks around about us. It doesn't matter how we perceive it to be. In the name of Jesus, this society can change to the glory of God. See, the mindset of Jesus says there is opportunity. There is potential. See, quite often we walk around life going, it's no use. You know, this person's unwell, these things happen, and you know, life happens, right? And it's tough, it's difficult. But the mindset of Jesus, I think, gives us so much more faith and belief that the situation that we're in that is difficult can turn around in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. And so Peter saw the ministry of Jesus, and he thought, I'm going to try this myself. And he was full of faith, and he said, get up. And the man was healed. Oh, praise the Lord. I wish I had that much faith. I wish I could look at a sick person and not just pray that God would bless the hands of the doctors, but that I would look at the person and say, get up in Jesus' name and be healed. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, just be careful, you guys in this church. You end up in hospital. I'm going to be trying some things sometime. One of these days. Come on, get up in Jesus' name. And the doctors will look, go, nothing's happening. What's going on? Doesn't matter. I'm trying. I'm praying. I believe. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Look at your situation. God can do something with it. Hallelujah. That's the mindset of Jesus Christ. Let's have a look at Philippians chapter 1, if you've still got Philippians open, which I haven't. Philippians chapter 1, there's a little verse in here, in verse 9. And this is my prayer, Paul says to the church in Philippi, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through faith, through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God, that you may be pure and blameless. Now, purity, not something we talk about much, but it's about holiness, isn't it? If you've got a pure bottle of sparkling mineral water, you don't see all the little floaty bits, you know? It's pure. Yeah, not like that one that's got little floaties from our kids. Pure. God wants us to be pure. And if ever there was a time in society when the world is crumbling around and we perceive it to be crumbling around and we don't know what we're doing and we're finding it difficult to find job security and finding it difficult to kind of reconcile our family, if ever there was a time, right now, it would be for people to look at us and see holiness, to look at us and see purity, yeah? Now, I just want to mention my family because they don't always live up to the mark to which I preach about, right? You know, because I preach about holiness and sometimes, you know, I say to my family, did you even listen to anything I said? Because it was a few months ago, my wife Jo here bought a present for Elijah, my little five-year-old. Well, sort of big five-year-old, but you get the point. Bought a little present and it was... Well, I've got it in my pocket here. It wasn't an expensive present. Cheap kind of present, but one that doesn't express holiness in our family, okay? And let me explain it to you. It's a... Everyone see this? It's a plastic spider, yeah? But when I'm half asleep, right, it doesn't look like a plastic spider, okay? You understand what I'm saying? So my family now, they think that it is okay to hide this spider in different places in our house without me knowing full well that I'm going to walk into the room, like say the spider's here, and I'm just walking, this is seriously, Joe can vouch for this, I walk in, like this, serious. Now, there's something within the brain that says your emotional brain kicks in quicker than your rational, logical part of your brain, right? That is true with this spider. So last night, Joan knew that I was about to cook dinner. So she thought, where can I hide this spider in order to frighten my wife? Now, my brain isn't always logical. Like I said, the emotional brain kicks in before the rational brain. That's the way God created me, right? I opened the freezer of all places... And there is the spider sitting on the fish fillets, right there. So I open up the... Oh, like this. And then all my family, you just hear him. Ah, oh, that's Dad again. We're fighting him. Actually, I'm not going to put that there. We need to live holy and pure lives. Right, when there's political instability and... economic uncertainty and difficulties with relationships and all of that, people need to see that there's something about followers of Jesus that is different. There's something about them. There's something about the joy that they have. There's something about the purpose that they have in their life that I want. Purity, grace, and love is expressed on a Sunday morning when we gather together. Whether people feel welcome as they come to be a part of the church. They don't come to church, they come to be a part of the church, right? You understand the distinction, because we are the church. As they come to be a part of the church, do they feel welcome? See, in the old days, many years ago, my parents' generation, maybe even my nana, you would have to believe before you would ever be welcome to belong, you know? You'd need to believe in what we believe before you would be able to belong. Then you would behave, right? Nowadays, it's more, we want people to belong, even if they don't believe, right? So that they might be kind of a part of this community, that they might belong, and over time they might hear the truth that we believe in Jesus Christ, and then they might start to believe and then behave. Because quite often, whether we state it or not, so many churches across our communities still have this sense of, we welcome you here, but please try to conform to be like us. You say, wait a minute. churches that are really pure in heart and holy would just simply say, just come and just be with us. Because when you're with us, there's something about being in that community that's going to transform you. Praise the Lord. I mean, Jesus even asked out of his 12 disciples, one was a terrorist, and invited him to be part of the discipleship team. Come follow him, because he knew in the process something would happen in his life. See, in the doctrines of the Salvation Army, we say that we believe that whosoever will may be saved. Whosoever, anybody, irrespective of uniforms, irrespective of sexuality, irrespective of socioeconomic status, irrespective of where you come in life, you are welcome in the Salvation Army. Amen? Yeah? Praise the Lord. And to all the misfits who are here this morning, welcome. You know? Praise the Lord. If ever you could fit in, it's got to be Craigieburn. Praise God. Amen. I fit in. It's good. I grew up in the western suburbs. You guys all laugh at my jokes. I love it. Praise the Lord. We need to have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. And that mindset is one of purity and holiness. See, Romans 12, 1 and 2, we've heard it many times before. Lay our life down upon the altar. And the thing about laying our life down upon the altar as a living sacrifice, it's living. All right? And if you have something that is living, it can move off the altar. Right? So we believe that you could be fired up and passionate for Jesus, living your life upon the altar, if you like, laying your life down before God, and then something happens in your life that causes you to crawl off the altar. And I really sense there are people even in this place today who once found themselves on that altar, on fire for God, absolutely set apart for Him, absolutely consecrated before God, we're going to change the world, and then something happened for you, and you found yourself no longer on the altar, but crawling off, worrying about the things that are happening for you in your life. God wants you to get back on the altar and lay yourself down before Him in Jesus' name, so that you might reconsecrate yourself before Him in order that God might use you to change the world. Praise the Lord. Oh, one person got it down the front there. Praise, yeah, come on. Hallelujah. So we need to have the mindset of Jesus Christ. One more thing. In Philippians chapter 2, let me read again verse 5 onwards of Philippians chapter 2. Your attitude should be that as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. And he humbled himself and became obedient to death. If we want to have the mindset of Jesus, it's got to be one of humility. It's got to be one of humility. It's got to be one, especially in the political environment today, where here's my opinion. You may or may not agree with it, and I want to present it to you in a humble kind of way, not in a forceful kind of way. Yeah, we need to have humility. We need to be humble in our relationships. We need to, at times I say to my wife, you know, I stuffed it up, you know. Especially when Joe gives me time out at dinner time. He says, right, time out. And I'll come back at some point and say I'm sorry about how I was acting. We need to humble ourselves. So, why? Why do we need to have the mindset of Jesus? Let me tell you, because when you look around the world, when the world looks at the church, when the world looks at the church, they want to see people who are different to them. They want to see people who don't just look like the world but gather in a church on a Sunday morning. You understand what I mean? They don't want to look at us and see, oh, you're just like us, really, but you just kind of go to church on a Sunday. They want to see something different. When they look at us, they want to see holiness. They want to see morality, right? They may not say it like that, but the world wants to see something different in us. And when they look at us, they want to see people who are humble and loving and compassionate and generous towards those around about them. Because let me tell you, when the world sees that of the church, many people will become disciples of Jesus Christ because they will see something in Christians that they want to see in themselves. Amen? Amen? So, we need to have the mindset of Jesus Christ to believe that anything is possible. Irrespective of how difficult your life is right now, anything is possible through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That God calls you to be holy, set apart for Him, pure in mindset. And that God wants you to be humble. Lay your life down before Him, set apart for Him.